What's up, Miami Vineyard? We are so glad that you guys are here hanging out with us today. Those of you joining online, thank you for taking your time and joining us wherever you may be joining us today. So thank you guys so much. I'm excited. My name is David, and I am the next gen pastor here at Miami Vineyard. And I have to tell you guys something. Can I start off by just telling you guys a quick secret? Is that all right? Yes. Tell you a quick secret? Okay. Whatever you do, though, do me a favor. Don't tell Pastor Kevin. All right? Don't tell him this, but I have the best job here at Miami Vineyard. I have the best job here at Miami Vineyard. So as the next gen pastor, what that looks like here at Miami Vineyard is I work with an amazing team, with Kathy and our amazing kids team, and then I have a youth team that we work with, and then our young adults and our Echo team. So I get to work with them to create an avenue, a place for your child, for your family to grow into a relationship with Jesus. With Kathy and the kids team, we try to incite the wonder of a great big God that loves them. In our youth spaces, we try to help them discover their purpose based on this great big God that loves them. And then when they come young adults, it's like, what are we gonna do? So we try to create an avenue for them to really just live out the calling that God has for their lives. So I truly feel that this is the best place in Miami to raise a family. This is the best place for you to grow in your spiritual walk from birth all the way through to your 30-ish ages. So I just think it's a great place. So I just want to say to you, parents here, thank you. Thank you for entrusting us with your most prized possessions, because it is a truly an honor and a joy for me and our team here at Miami Vineyard to just care for them and to grow them in their spiritual walk. So guys, thank you. We really appreciate it. So that's kind of what we do in Next Gen. All right. So I'm excited for that. So I'm excited to be here to with you guys and just share with you a little bit. If you're like me, you have school-aged children, you know that spring break has officially started. Now, if you're not a parent, you probably know this just by like turning on your TV and you see like what's going on South Beach. Like, it's crazy, right? So spring break is here right now. And it got me thinking about like my life. I grew up in the southwest part of Florida. I lived in Florida pretty much my whole life, okay? And I've always been a person that loved going to the beach. We were always the people, like, especially when Sarah and I first got married, it would be just like a random afternoon. Like, hey, you want to go to the beach after work? Yeah, sure, let's go. Or wake up on a lazy Saturday morning and be like, you want to go to the beach? Sure, let's go. It wasn't like, didn't take like any prep. Didn't take any planning. We just said, woke up, hey, let's go. Like, literally, it was like, okay, here, let me get my sunglasses. And we're there. Like that. Like that's what happened. We went to the beach. But this thing happened, and that whole process changed. Something that took absolutely no planning, no preparation, turned our thing into like a 3 or 4 day like event just to get ready to go to the beach for like 2 hours. All right, this thing happened where we had kids. And then our thing, I'm like, okay, we got to make sure that we got chairs for everybody. Get going. We got to make sure that we have their floaties, everything that they need to get us to go to all the pool toys. Like, this process took a very long time for us to get there just to go to the beach. And like, this is this. And then it's like, okay, do you see all the kids? I'm like, all right, I don't see them. I don't know where they're at. And then, Dad, I need you to hold me. Like, literally, like, I'm carrying, like, Dad, my feet are tired. Like, really? Like, really? Like, I got nothing left in me. It got so bad. I remember talking to Sarah. Let me put these back over here. I remember talking to Sarah one time. And I'm like, you know I love the beach. But I'm at this place in my life where I'm not going to go to the beach anymore. The only way that I'm going to go there is if it's like a vacation and we have like a hotel room down there, because this takes way too long, takes way too much effort for us to go out there and be like gone in like 4 hours. Then the car, the sand that you have to clean up out of the car, We bring those like Publix bags because we pack subs. You know, you got to get the Publix subs when you go to the beach. But we get the bag, we put all the wet bathing suits in them. And then we do this thing where like, it's stuck underneath the seat or something like that. You can't find it. And like 4 days later, like, what's that mildew smell? Did you smell, like, where is that? Did you clean the car off the beach? I think so. I got everything out. And then we find those little presents for us underneath the seat and car. So it really changed our perspective. Something in our lives changed, and we had to prepare and plan for things. Something that was like super, super simple, super easy, became a whole like 3-day affair to make it happen. And you see here in Miami, we're not like any like strangers to prep or planning. We have these things called hurricanes, right? And you pretty soon on the news and stuff, you're going to be hearing, I got your hurricane prep kit. Are you ready to go? Do you have everything that you need to survive this upcoming hurricane season? So whether it's something silly like going to the beach, something more serious like a hurricane, we can all kind of relate to things in our lives that need a little bit of prep and planning. You could be prepping and planning to buy a house, prepping and planning for your marriage, prepping and planning for having a baby to come. There's things that happen in our lives, whether it's a test, that we just have to prepare for. So today, I want to talk about how we can prepare. This is like a monumental weekend for us because it's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, this is the last weekend that we have at church. So that's time that we're going to gather before the greatest miracle in history of our world. So what I want to look at today is I want to be able to look at what is God's plan for our lives. What can we learn from about God's plans for our lives from this triumphal entry, this great grand entry into the city of Jerusalem for Jesus on the road to the greatest miracle? What can we learn from this? So we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray for a second. God, we just thank you for this time together. We just pray that as we're here today, God, that you prepare our hearts to receive from you. God, we thank you for all that you're doing in every single one of our lives, God, and just open us up. God, I pray for this time together. God, just speak through me. Let the words that come out of my mouth be the words that you have appointed to me today. So God, we just thank you for this time together. Amen. So we're going to be in this passage of the Bible real quick in Luke chapter 19, verse 28. So it's going to be on the screen. If you have your Bibles on your phone, go ahead, open it up as we read this passage together, or open up your Bible, however you do it. Let's do it, and let's go straight into the word today. So Luke 19, we're going to start in verse 28. It says this: after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there. No one has ever ridden it. Untie it and bring it to me. Bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the colt owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, though, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. What I love about this story, like as I'm reading it and as I'm going through, it's like Jesus knew what to do. Like he knew what to, like he was prepping to go to make this entrance into the city. And he was like, oh, how am I gonna get to the city today? I don't know how I should do this. Should I take an Uber? Should I do this? Should I do that? Like he didn't just like think about it. Like he knew what the plan was. He knew what the plan was because God had an ultimate plan. God had a plan for this world. And God's plan for this world was Jesus. And Jesus knew this. So he was fulfilling the purpose that God had for his life. And we know this because it was prophesied earlier in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it says this. It says, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble and riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's colt. See, he was just fulfilling the plan that God had for him, for his life, for this world. He was fulfilling the purpose that he has. Guys, for you here today, or those of you that are joining us online, do you believe that God has a purpose for you? Yes. Do you believe that God has a purpose for you? Yes, he has a purpose for you. That leads us to the first point that I want to get to in this message today, is that if we believe that God has a purpose for your life, then first point is God has a plan for me. Guys, I want you to say that. If you're watching us online, if you're joining us online, I would love for you to type in the chat right now, God has a plan for me. Here in the building today, you can say it. Say it out loud. It's okay. Like, I'm allowed. I work with kids, so they talk all through the messages all the time anyways, all right? But say, God has a plan for me. Guys, I feel like this is something that sometimes we have to be reminded of. We have to be reminded that God has something for me. He has something for me. I think partly because, like, we live in this generation where, like, this microwave generation where we want to put something in the microwave and boom, it happens. And this year has been filled with so many things that were unexpected. This time last year, we were not in this building. We were not preparing for Easter service here in the building or in the parking lot. We were preparing for it online. This year has looked different for each one of us. And when things look different and don't go the way that we normally, like, that we can, like, imagine them, we start doubting, is this plan even here? Sometimes when we don't see it, we start we start forgetting what God actually has for us because we can't see it. It's got me thinking, okay? I like food, so I'm using a food analogy. I like to eat. All right. So we have this thing in our house called a crock pot, like a slow cooker. All right, anybody have one of those things? All right, kind of, sort of, we got this. So it got me thinking about this. When I go to work and I put food in the crock pot, actually, I don't do that. I can't say even claim that. Like, Sarah does that, all right? My wife, I can't. I'm like, oh, don't say that because you don't do that. You're lying, all right? So, but, like, she puts some food in the crock pot in the morning. We're ready to go, and we go to work. We're not in the building. We're not in the house. We're not there anymore. And we can't see dinner being cooked, but we know it's getting cooked, right? Like, because we know that it's there. And sometimes things in our lives can be like that. Like, we want this thing. We want our instant response. We're like, Lord, pray for this. And it comes down and it happens that day. I wish it always worked like that. Sometimes it does. A lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times our lives look more like the slow cooker. We're not in the house. We don't see it. We're doing our thing. We can't really see it cooking, but we know it's cooking. We know when we arrive back home that we're going to have dinner on the table. So for some of us, like, we can't see some of the things that God's doing in our lives, but a lot of times we forget that it's still happening because we're not in the same room. We're doing something else. We're going somewhere else with our day. But guys, God has a plan for your life, and you need to believe that. You need to believe that he has a plan for you. It says it in Ephesians 2:10. It says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. Guys, we need to believe that just as God had a plan for this world, just as God had a plan for Jesus, he has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life, which leads me to the second point of the message today, is that I need to trust the process, okay? I need to trust the process. Now, I can imagine in this story as it was going down, Jesus says, help, go ahead, guys. Here's the plan. you guys are going to go grab this colt. It's going to be tied up in front of the city. So it's going to be there. You're going to go there and you're going to go get this colt for me to ride on. I can imagine the disciples being like, did he just say what he just said? Is he really telling us to go take this colt at the front of the place? Like, what's happening? I love that Jesus was thinking about his transportation, though. I love that he was thinking like, okay, how am I going to get there? But I will say this. It's a good thing that I'm not Jesus, because I probably would have entered the city in a different way. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go get, if I got to arrive somewhere and people are going to be like waiting for me, I'm going to get the newest Chevy Silverado with a lift kit, blacked out windows, rims, everything. Like, I'm getting the brand new Chevy four-door pickup truck and I'm coming to town. All right. Like, I'm looking for that ride. So if you're joining us online, I want to know, if you could put it in the chat, what would be the car? What's your dream car? If you were going somewhere, type it in the chat and say, this is what my dream car is. This is what it would be. That's what I would come to town in. All right. And if you're in person, you can just go ahead right now and shout it out. What car would you come to town in riding in style? What would you take? What's your dream car? Tesla? Range Rover? We got some stuff going on here. Let's see. Anything else? Range Rover, Tesla, Beamer, Mercedes. All right. We got some nice options to go with for our dream car. I think it's pretty cool that when he thinks of this, but like, you know what I did not hear anybody in this building say? I'm going to go get my Kia and I'm going to go get this Kia and I'm going to make my entrance into the city. Right? And I feel like that's kind of what the disciples were. This, I don't know. If I was one of them, I'd be like, really? Did he say a little donkey? Like, he's going to get the Kia. That's how we're going to get there. Like, they're going with him. So they probably want to arrive in style too. Like, this is the thing that we're going with. All right. Jesus said it. I got to trust the process. I got to trust the process because this is what he's going with. And you see, our lives are filled with these moments where we just got to trust the process. We just got to trust what God's doing in our lives, because a lot of times I know even for me, like, the plans that I have don't look like the plans that God has for me. They don't happen in the exact same timeline that I want. And there's times that have been extremely difficult. But I just got to trust God, because I know what he has is good for us. I know what he has is good. I didn't know that we were going to go through years and years and years of infertility. But we have 5 kids now, right? Like we got, I'm going to trust the process. You see, guys, when I first started coming to Jesus, when I first started going to church, my aunt had a vision that I was going to be standing on a stage and preaching to a crowd larger and a building larger than I can ever imagine. In the middle of that time, I was working with Parks and Rec. I was in and out of churches, went a couple different church jobs, figured out some things. I was literally leading. Anybody heard of pickleball? Some people, listen, on the West Coast, on the West Coast of Florida, it's for people that are a little bit more seasoned in life. That can't play tennis anymore. All right. And I was actually in charge of like senior games, like the people that were a little seasoned in life, and they would play these pickleball tournaments. And in the middle of these pickleball tournaments, like, all right, God, I got to trust the process that I'm here in charge of this pickleball tournament. When you said that, okay, you gave the vision to my aunt, you gave the vision here, but now in my mind, about a decade ago, even more like 15 years ago, the vision that my aunt saw, the vision when she said it to me, the stage looked a lot similar to this. But I didn't see it for a long time in my life. I had to trust that God had a plan, that there's something that was going on in our life. We have to trust the process. We have to trust the process of the things that have in our life. And I'm trying to learn this. I'm still trying to learn this. Guys, I don't know if you can tell, but I like to go to CrossFit. All right. And I go there and you can probably tell that like I don't go to CrossFit. I don't. I do go to CrossFit, and I'm in this moment, and I'm like, everybody else looks like pretty good. They got six packs, and I'm like, I still got this belly, and I'm going like so much so that my wife goes with me, and I get so jealous of her. Like she'll go to CrossFit like for like a day, and all of a sudden like she starts getting jacked, and I'm like, okay, she hurt her back like a month ago. I'm like, now's my time. All right, she can't go for 2 weeks. All right, I'm gonna time to trust this process, and I'm gonna start seeing those results. She's gone for like, actually, she was gone for like a month. Like her second day in the gym, she's like, she's throwing the weights up, and like, oh, I'm like, really? Like, I've been going for faithfully for this last month, and I've seen nothing. You go 2 days, and like, all right, I see that you're going to the gym again. All right, but I gotta trust the process. All right, we gotta trust the process with the things that are happening in our lives. If you're a parent, trust the process. We have middle schoolers. That is crazy. Now, everybody told me what like middle school was gonna be like, and I didn't know that until my kids became like 12, 13. I'm like, ooh, this is what people warned me about. This is what they told me, but we gotta trust the process. Trust the process in your marriage. Trust the process for your young adult. Trust the process for everything that God has for you. The other thing that I want, what we can do now from here to Easter, in this trusting, what does it look like for us? What can we learn in this process of trust? I want us to look at this, like, I like how the Lord says, he says this in the, like, what he needs. He says this, he says, if anybody asks you why you're untying this colt, tell them the Lord needs it. Tell him the Lord needs it. What is the Lord asking of you? What can we learn and grow from in this season between now and next week? God, what is it that you're asking of me? What is it that you need from me? This is part of the journey. This is part of the prep. This is part of the planning for us between now and the greatest miracle on earth. God, what is it that you are asking from me? And some of you might be here today like, listen, this guy's talking about Jesus, a donkey, a Chevy Silverado. Like, what is even happening? Why am I here? And you might be like, okay, maybe the first step in trusting the process for you is to trust God with your life. Maybe you've been trying to do things your own way. Maybe you've been trying to do them in your own strength, and it's gotten you this far. But maybe God's asking you, hey, in between now and Easter, I need to take a moment and give God control. I need to say, God, I'm going to commit my life to you. I need to begin to trust you with my life and with everything that I am. So I'm going to ask you guys this week, I'm going to challenge you this week to spend some time with him, spend some time with God and say, God, what is it that you need, that you're asking from me? Because as they enter the city, I love the symbolism here, is that they said they were throwing their jackets on the ground, they were putting palm branches on the road, and it was just really a symbol of saying, like, I'm going to prepare the way for the Lord to come. I'm going to prepare the way for God to come in my life. How are we preparing the way for the Lord between now and Easter? How are we preparing that way for us? For some of us, it might be a little bit different. What is God telling you to do? Some of you guys have so much influence in your world, in your workplace, in your schools, wherever you're at, in your neighborhood. Some of you guys have so much influence that there are people that need to hear about God's love. There are people that you know that need to hear about God's love and how powerful he is. So maybe part of this process for you is that, hey, like, I need to start telling some other people about this. I need to invite a friend to Easter service. Guys, I'm telling you, Pastor Kevin has an amazing message next week talking about the power of God. And there are people that only you can reach. I tell my students this all the time, like, listen, I'm not in your biology class. I'm not. I'm not in your math class. I can't invite them, but you can. There are people that you guys have relationships with that need to come along the road with you, that need to join you on this journey. Because when I imagine this entrance, When I imagine Jesus coming and entering the city of Jerusalem, the best way that I can think about it is going to Disney. All right, I'm a big Disney person. And you know how they had those parades pre-COVID when they had the parades and everybody's like squished up next to each other and like trying to find a place seat for them to see the parade coming. There are people that need to see it with you. You need to grab a friend and say, come on, we're going to church next week. All right? You need to take a friend with you and say, hey, you got to see what's happening. And that brings us to our last point, is that we need to learn how to celebrate. We need to learn how to celebrate. I have a hard time with this because I'm really good at this one thing, okay? I'm really good at complaining. All right? I am really good at this thing that is called complaining. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a complainer are you guys? You don't have to answer. It's all right. All right, but no, I'm a 10. I like to complain. I was just at TJ Maxx this week with my daughter, and I see this line. I'm like, that's all wrapped around, and I'm like, nope. I don't really need that. It's not that beneficial for me. My bank account loves it because I'm like, nope, all right, like I'm not going to go do it. I like to complain about everything. And I think something that we do in life, that we complain so often that we forget to see the good things that God is doing. We've complained so often that we forget that God has a purpose for my life. I once had a counselor say this, like, if you're going to count every bad moment in your life, you better be counting all every blessing too. We better count every blessing, even the small ones. Let's count the small blessings that happen in our lives. You know, for me, one of the smallest blessings that I get is the days in the morning when I remember to do the auto brew function on my coffee maker. Like, that is when I remember to do that. That is like, I won today. I don't care what else happens for the rest of the day. This is a win. This is good for me. Even find the small things that you can celebrate. It's crazy. It's spring break. My kids are going crazy in the house, and it's been 2 days. I've already called, hey, mom, you know what would be a great idea? You haven't seen your grandkids in a while, have you? You want to take them for a week and see how that's going to go? Like, they miss you. They want to see you. Sorry, mom. Hi, mom. How you doing? I'm sure she's watching right now. But we get in these moments, but we're going to celebrate the small things. Celebrate the things like your kids waking up and your kids just being with you, the joy and laughter in your house. Guys, there are things that we need to celebrate. We need to count every blessing that happens in our life. And I love this in this story, is that like in some of this thing, you had the disciples that were cheering, that were excited, but there are some other people in this story that were like, no, rebuke your disciples. But then Jesus says to them, even the stones are going to cry out. And what I love about this is that maybe on this journey for Jesus, part of learning how to celebrate for him, or part of his preparation to get through the next season of life, was that he knew how to celebrate. Because he had those people lined up, cheering for him, ready to go. So those cheerful, those celebrations in life sometimes get us through the valleys of life. And I'm telling you, you guys in Miami, you know how to party. Listen, like, I've always never been really good at this. I've never known like how to celebrate like you guys know how to celebrate in Miami. I remember Sarah and I, when we first moved to the neighborhood and we'd take our walks in the neighborhood and be like, we start hearing the music. We start smelling the smokers going. Like, what's going on? And like, oh, it's a teacher in service day. Anytime there's like a 3-day weekend here in Miami, like there is a celebration going on. It's President's Day, bank holiday. I don't even, like we go, what day is it? It's Tuesday. That's what we're partying. All right. Okay. That's good. That's good. I know you got here. You got these pots. Okay. We're going to celebrate heat victory. Like, you know how to do it. I can't keep a beat for the life of me. I'm not from Miami, so I'm sorry. I'm trying to get there. Yeah. I need your help, guys. Please help me in this. But like, you guys know how to celebrate. Papa John's gives out free pizza when the Miami Heat win. Like, that's, like, you guys know how to celebrate. Like, all right, the Heat score, let's go, let's get some pizza. Like, you guys know how to, and I'm learning in this. So guys, help me in this. Help me as you get to know me. Like, help me learn how to celebrate. That's why when I'm trying to trust the process of CrossFit, well, I'm not seeing the results because I like to celebrate too. Like, I like to eat the food. So, but I'm getting there. All right. But guys, I hope as we learn from this story, let's learn how we can celebrate the victories so that we can trust the process of what God has in our lives and really know that He has a plan for you. On this road of life, He has a plan for you. Let's trust that process that He has. I'm going to take a moment to pray. God, we just thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your love. And God, I pray for each person that's here, as we rest in Your presence for a moment, God, give us a sense of Your plan and Your purpose in our lives. And God, I pray that You give us courage and strength to continue to trust the process of where You're going, where You're bringing us through. Whether it's a child that seems to be walking away from You, I'm going to trust the process. I'm trusting that You're doing Your work, God. Whether it's an avenue or an issue in your marriage, God, I'm going to trust the process. God, we trust You. And maybe you're here and you've never had that moment to say, God, I need to trust You with my life. I need to stop doing this thing by myself, but I want to trust You. And if you're here today, just simply in your seats where you're at, you can kind of just say it in your mind, in your heart, but say, God, I need to trust You. God, I commit my life to You. I'm not going to do it by myself anymore. God, I trust the process that You have for me. God, I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross and rise again for me. I trust You, God. God, I thank You for all that You're doing. Lord, as we celebrate the small victories and we celebrate the greatest victories of people committing their lives to You, that when someone comes to the family, that God, that there's a celebration happening in heaven. And God, I pray that we don't lose focus and we can celebrate everything that You're doing in our lives. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.